With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we've got a special treat for you this week, a special episode for our creatives.
Mm-hmm. All our designers, artists, creatives, however you define that.
Yeah, who do we have in store, Joy?
So we have a really informative conversation that we held with a digital art director based here in New York City and a designer. His name is Matt Vandrick. And we had a really great conversation a little while back about the role of design in everyday life and work. We talk a bit about some design trends, and we wrap up the conversation with some really great tips for all of our creatives listening on how to enhance your professional brand and land those amazing design opportunities.
Yeah, I love how he really infused strategy into design. Like, it's not all just, you know, daydreaming and doodling.
Yes, exactly.
Check it out.
But you know, design has evolved and changed rapidly. And, you know, to that point, me not being in it or not practicing as much, it's a muscle that you have to keep flexing and working on, right? Mm-hmm. How do you stay up to date with the design trends? And a lot of people listening might not even know what that means or think it's relevant to their lives. But, you know, an example that I'd share is look at iOS, how iOS has evolved over the years, right?
Absolutely.
The different versions of the design that you're seeing on your iPhone and how that changes how you interact with that device. Things are now more minimal, more flat, whereas we used to see lots of like depth and buttons and gradients. And does it, you know, if you guys remember the memo pad with the yellow, like the yellow pad and the actual lines and the handwritten font. So talk to me about how you stay up to date with the changing design trends and also how those trends inform our behavior as consumers.
A good question. How I stay, I stay on top of trends by using everything. I download tons of apps that perhaps I don't even really have a need to use, but just to see how they lay out certain things or micro sort of interactions with the way a screen will flip or the way the text will come in, things like that. Paying attention to what people are doing currently and always is how to really stay up to date. It's really, you know, of course you can, you know, check out blogs, of course, like the format that you got, like that's stuff like that is wonderful. Actively going out to seek information, reading books, going to conferences, things like that certainly work.
Yeah.
But in the day to day, you can blindly kind of stay on top of design stuff by just making sure that you're always
being a part of
being
it.
Being a part of it, yeah.
All right. And I know because you're a designer and every designer I know has these. What are your biggest design gripes, like, that you see and you just cringe?
I'm a stickler for typography. I do not like type that is not properly set, properly kerned line spacing.
You got to break it down for the people.
We're getting
kerning and line. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Essentially, you'll see, sometimes you'll see, you know, posters in the subway or even professional work like movie posters and, you know, huge billboards for, you know, fashion brands, and the text won't be right. Like it won't be aligned. There will be no grid system. It's just really bad. I don't like seeing really super professional work that from a creative eye is really not.
Sound. Up to par.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a right. A lot of people don't realize this. And because of some of my background, there is a right and there is a wrong with some of these things, especially with typography.
Yeah.
So one thing that I did recently in the workplace is, you know, someone asked me to pick my brain about Photoshop. They needed it for a project. So I set up a lunch and learn, and I started walking people before we even got into like the Photoshop tutorials. It was like, let's talk about what good design looks like. Let's just back up. I think a lot of people could benefit from understanding white space is a good thing. less is more on your decks, right? Yeah. Like, don't load your decks with a bunch of text. And I think this is tying it back into everyday functionality, the everyday things we might not notice. If you're not creative, you might not care about. But it really has an impact on how you perceive and consume information.
Absolutely.
So what is the function of design to you and branding and, you know, a clean aesthetic in terms of everyday living?
Good design and branding, why it's important. I would say it's a variety. It's a layer. It's several layers. One, it's important because your branding is the first touch point that a consumer is going to have with you, right?
Yeah.
If it's a brand that you're unfamiliar with, how they present themselves is your first touch point.
Right.
So you're going to get from them, at the first, at the beginning. In terms of everyday, why it's important every day, because, I mean, again, if design is truly solving problems, then they're going to, you know, it's going to make your life easier.
Yeah.
Like subliminally.
Yeah.
Things that you won't even really notice. Even if we were talking about the iPhone, you were talking about iOS, when they made the fingerprint scan thing, the unlock.
Oh, I love Bible.
When they first said it, I was like, well, I mean, that's cool, but I mean, it's only four numbers. Why would I need to?
Right. Yeah.
But if you're pressing the home button, like, that's the natural motion, right? So now you can just have an extended hold on the button and then you're in your phone.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
is very seamless. And it just that fraction of a second changes or it enhances the way that you're able to quickly.
Yeah, I live by it on all my banking apps. And actually, the one that was
Touch
ID, slow to get
it's amazing.
In, yes.
Yeah.
Angered me. I was like, why doesn't it have Touch ID?
Yeah,
so that's such a good point.
Yeah. And one thing I definitely wanted to ask you, I'm really into like how we present work online. And I think web design is starting to come into its own, where as opposed to like trying to replicate how we present information in other mediums. Mm. It's like, you know, like with the big images and the parallax scrolling and all, like it's getting a little sexier.
Absolutely.
So I just really interested in what do you want the web to look like? Like what are you going for or your dream?
That's great. I'm actually really pleased with the way that the web is going, to be honest. When I look at Squarespace, things like Squarespace,
oh
it's super open. Again, sound typography, crisp imagery, big imagery, things like that.
Yeah.
It is a good point that you made about the web coming into its own.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the blend of web and mobile, I think it needed to do that. Because everything is so seamless, like you're on a desktop, you're on your iPad, you're on your phone, and it needs to maintain its integrity across devices. Really clean, intentional design allows that to happen easier.
Yeah.
You know, infinite scrolling, borderless, you know, windows, things like that. Very clean and open. When things rearrange, it feels just as smooth as it does when it's on the big screen.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And speaking of design, I mean, you design yourself and your brand rather well. You know, you guys are in the studio with us, but Matt is a tall, dapper gentleman.
He's coordinated.
Typically very well dressed. So talk to us about your personal style and, you know, the role that plays in the workplace and also how you've been able to progress through your career, right? Because you take very intentional care of your own personal brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to do so. My own personal style, how I crafted it, I guess it was over the years, it kind of just developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, and it's actually funny, the segue to that is because, I mean, when you think about designing a website or designing a logo or something like that, it's a little bit of the same thought process when you're, you know, putting an outfit on. You're putting a little bit of yourself into it. You're putting a little bit of how you want to be received into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's
form,
all
function.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How it's affected the workplace, I would say, or how it can affect. I certainly always put your best foot forward. I do think that creatives have a little bit of a luxury. Like, we're not finance. You don't got to wear a suit. In fact, if you show up to an interview in a suit and tie, they're probably going to be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, they absolutely will.
Yeah. And so I think that in that regard, it's actually it's advantageous for you to show up and show a little bit of who you are
yeah.
in your personal style as well as in your portfolio. I think it's a nice, it's a really cool overlap with that.
That's dangerous though, and I speak from experience working at a startup, and you just fall into like leggings and sweats, and you're like, oh my God. Where is my adult wardrobe?
No, that is true. Also,
the one time you have an important meeting, you need to dress up. You're like, what am I gonna wear?
Yeah, that is true.
Sorcery. All right, so you know, I want to move into some advice for creatives that are listening, aspiring creatives, because this is having been in that field and really struggled at the school level and realizing that's not something I wanted to do professionally. It was a hobby for me, right? I think a lot of people confuse having a creative mind and interests with a desire to work in a creative role professionally. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to the young pros out there who might be considering roles in creative, you know, at the student level and then also moving into the workforce?
Yeah. At the student level, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes peeled. Don't get caught in ruts or what you think is kind of easy or what everyone else is doing. Of course, you know, in terms of structure and you know, especially with websites, anything interactive, you do want to stick to your guns in terms of best practices and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be blinded by everything that your professors are telling you. In fact, when I was in undergrad, some professors, like they really wanted us to go agency route, and I think it's really easy to get swallowed in the agency world as a young professional. You have to try really, really hard to get noticed and to get, you know, the good work, to be able to work on things that are going to significantly add to your portfolio. It's tough to do that when you're in a sea of people that are just as talented as you. That's another thing too. Don't underestimate or overestimate yourself and the work that you have to do to really stay on top of things. Now with, you know, social media, the internet has consistently made the world smaller and easier to access, you know, year over year. Like, it's getting more and more, you know, quick. And so, frankly, you don't really even have to, like, there's someone out there who's never gone to school. You know, they kind of got a laptop and, you know, Photoshop, and they play around, and they're super talented, and they're making really good, you know, world-changing experiences, and they're getting picked up by, you know, the big wigs. You know, can be discovered, just like kind of like the story of, like, you know, a singer will be like in a subway and then someone will discover him. That type of stuff happens, you know, if you just put your work out there. So don't underestimate, you know, doing the work, really, really putting yourself into the work and just showing it.
So the showing it is the portfolio. And so as a creative, we got to touch on the portfolio. Give us three tips for young creatives working on honing and refining their portfolio.
Any age creatives, really. That's true. Some things.
Remember that the portfolio is about the work. I'm speaking from like a creative professional and even like a hiring manager.
Yes.
I don't want to look at a portfolio that's super complex and hard to understand. Show me the work. Show me a couple thumbnails. Let me click into the work. See, you know, put your finest moments of the work. I don't need to see the entire project. If I decide to bring you in, then we'll talk more about it. Show me the highlights. Give me a little description. Keep it extremely clean, extremely fast. Don't make it too heavy also, because if I'm quickly, you know, if it takes too long to load, I'm closing it. It's really sad, but it's really like if we're going through 500 resumes, like I just need to see it. I need to see it fast. Also, another thing is resume. Your resume is your first, before I even click. Because usually if I'm looking at your resume, I'm getting your URL from the resume. Even if it's a PDF on screen, I'm clicking to it. So, and if the resume doesn't look like you're a designer, then I'm not even going to bother. This is maybe I shouldn't say it that abrasively.
Well, you know, we want to know what people are actually looking for, right? I'm not sugarcoating.
And maybe that's true. And again, I mean, again, stickler for type, right? I need to see a beautifully designed, laid out resume that looks like you're someone who knows how to design. And when I go to the portfolio, I want it to feel stylistically matched and branded and packaged with the resume. Absolutely. Okay.
Cool.
And if you give me a card, I know I want that to look like it as well. Like, it needs to be
a design consistent story.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, present a package for sure.
All right, so we hope you found that conversation helpful. Feel free to keep the dialogue going with us anytime at jawbugs.com. You can check out more of Matt and his work at mattvandrick.com. That's M-A-T-T, V as in Victor, A-N-D-R-I-C-K.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.